Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is in the TV recommend show.
Hello, and welcome to part two of Show Me Magic special albums of the year so far. My name is Bill Cummings, and I'm joined by Jim again. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Let's get back into our albums of the year so far. If you heard the first part, we discussed our first five albums of the year in no order. Now we're going into the second part with our second five albums of the year in no order each. I'm going to kick us off, and this is Thick and 5 Years Behind. Behind from the band Thick from Brooklyn. They're a punk three-piece that consists of Nikki Sister, Katie Black, and Shari Page. And that's quite a frenetic, jumpy, almost like the intersection of Riot Girl and punk. And there's sort of a bit of 90s thing in there as well. Maybe you'll think of like things like Bikini Kill, L7, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the actual album itself is addresses the hypocrisy of people in power, social media's erosion of genuine connection, mansplaining music dudes, and even in their most exasperated moments, Thick sustain a ferocious energy and untamed joy. So, yeah, I enjoy the album, and it's something different. Some of the other stuff I've been listening to is a bit more sedate, as you'll hear. But the album, which is also called 5 Years Behind, came out earlier in the year. In spring of the year, and there's some really good tracks on. I think we played Won't Back Down before when Andy came on.
Yeah, we did.
It's a strong album all the way through. I mean, there are different shades of the alt rock, post punk, Riot Girl thing going on. I think it's quite playful as well. It's just like it's like they checked everything in, and I quite like that. There's a kind of abandon to it, but also a tackling sort of injustice in the world. And I think there's a fierce streak of feminism going through. I mean, one of the tracks I wrote about, which was called Mansplain, is like, basically it starts with like a load of men in music, you know, saying that women can't play guitar and, you know, all the sexist comments that women get, you know, in bands and stuff when they're in bands, and, you know, and there's the environment of misogyny and stuff like that. So it addresses that. And I think there's a bit of politics in it as well. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun as well. So yeah, it's a bit different. I thought I'd put it on my top 10.
It's a bit more kind of, like I say, that kind of riot girl thing than Won't Back Downwards. I did go back to that, and that wasn't quite the same as this. Whereas no. I kind of like there's that kind of light and shade thing where it's very kind of like that shouty punk kind of chorus thing, but then it's more kind of sort of
sing along as well.
Sing along, yeah, kind of a.
It was it's like got the two sides to it, hasn't it?
Thing, sort of two sides of a personality, sort of one. Yeah.
But I think the whole album's got that because it's quite varied. Like you said, the other one's quite different. And then, you know, there's various different shades of the punk, you know, the alt rock, punk, I don't know, whatever you want to call that, those genres. It kind of serves all of those things, really. And it's just them, really, having a riot. So, yeah, it's a good album.
I like that. Yeah, no, see, like you said, the L7, yeah, I agree with. And also maybe sort of Elements of Hole as well.
Yeah.
It's a kind of wall of guitar sound with...
And they know how to get a melody as well. It's not just pure, like...
Exactly. No, so I quite like the chorus as well. Mm. I mean, as I said earlier, before we came on, I've been playing these sort of on repeat on my playlist, my pod playlist that I do. So sort of like almost absorbing it more than sort of paying a huge amount of attention, if you know what I mean. Sort of laying sort of... sort of infiltrate me, if it were, as it were. So yeah, it's sort of one that I need to listen back to now, because when I first listened to it, I wasn't sure I liked it as much as that first one we had early in the early days of the pod. Was it when Andy was on, did you say?
Yeah, that's right.
No, but it's growing as well, so I think I might have to check out the album then. I don't know whether the album was out when we actually did that one. Maybe it wasn't.
Probably. Anyway, over to you. My first choice was Thick. Over to you for your first choice of the week.
My first choice is probably my favourite band of the past couple of years, or one of my favourite bands. That's probably going over the top, but I've been a cheerleader for this lot, and they're probably a bit sick of me constantly banging on about them. But this is Sorry. The album is 925, and I've chosen Rock and Roll Star.
Yeah.
Not an Oasis cover. We've had them on a couple of times. I think I brought on Snakes, which for me and for you, I think in the end probably didn't necessarily work as a single, but in the context of the album, it's a great song. And but then As the Sun Sets was one that Andy brought in as well. So as a sort of running theme, there was obviously a good week when we did the pod with Andy. But I've been a cheerleader of theirs for a little while now, and it felt like the album was a long time coming, but it was definitely worth the wait. It's just like they play with so many different genres and different styles that, and I think I can't remember who we were talking to about this, but it was on a pod not that long ago where I was saying that there seems to be this sort of prevalence of young people, making myself like sound like a really old codger now, but old younger people sort of not really paying a huge amount of attention to what's cool and just listening to old stuff, whatever they enjoy. Mm. And there's this seems to seep into a lot of the things they do. And it's just, I really like this one because it's kind of got like that. Nash has got this like Elvis lip curl to this song, and it's just, and it's quite, I mean, it's obviously got some seedy lyrics and stuff to it, but it's obviously just about some weirdo who thinks he's a rock and roll star that's down the pub, who kind of, you know, wants to and pretends that he is something important when he's not really. But
plenty of them in the music industry.
Pardon?
Plenty of them in the music
industry. Exactly. It's not really a concept album, but it almost feels like it is, because there's all these stories and these characters and things like that, that, and there's so many different styles and different tempos and textures and stuff like that. And I mean, I probably overplayed it at the very, when I first got it, from the PR, and I did my album review for it, but it's probably still number one at the moment. There are a lot of things that have been coming out recently that are sort of edging it, but it was one of the earlier ones I heard this year, and it's still one of my favourites. And I was really looking forward to, hopefully that gig's their tour that they rescheduled. They only had to reschedule it once. It's going to happen in December, and hopefully it will happen. I mean, they're playing small venue, so here's hoping, but you never know. But yeah. Did you ever get around to listening to the whole thing?
I haven't yet, but I quite enjoyed this one. The atmosphere that it created was quite effective, I thought. And like you said, it's interesting you say it's about a guy going down the pub, because I did get a sort of like a bar room feel, you know, sort of like lounge, bar room, middle of the night kind of feel, you know, drinking some whiskey or something. I liked how the riffs were really sort of slippery and slithering along, yeah. And her vocal was cool as well. Yeah, I like the atmosphere that it created.
Most of the singles are kind of a bit different. There's never anything you can really sort of pin them down. I mean, the more recent one they released was Perfect, which was kind of a bit more sort of archetypal indie rock kind of thing. But it almost it's almost like a refreshing thing in an album when you've got things like Snakes, which is very sort of almost like got sort of like and hip hop almost beat and stuff going on tour, and then you had In Using, which is very kind of like almost like industrial kind of sounding, sort of goth sounding, coming off the back of Right Around the Clock and things like that. So there's just nothing's ever the same sort of song after the other. So something like this is, you say, it's almost more sort of your sort of indie, sort of, it's almost like a gateway single if you haven't heard them before. But I mean, it's not really going to be something that's going to be indicative of the whole album. And that's just what makes them quite such an interesting band, that they're just doing what they want to do. They're not really paying any attention to what it style it sounds like, to who they're kind of like.
Are they one of those bands that the album sort of like, it makes sense as a piece, and it's kind of each song is quite different? That's the impression getting from the stuff I've heard.
Exactly. They're very kind of a visual band as well, because they've released quite a lot off this album. I mean, you know, we're quite old-fashioned, and we always see it as kind of like a, in the old days when you had like a four tracks off it and you had three or four singles off it and off an album, and it was kind of fairly regimented, but things aren't the same anymore. Nothing's really a single. It's just available online. It's streamable, but they do videos for almost every single song that they do. So it's more like an audio visual thing that they do with it. They're quite
creative.
So it's almost like the album at the end, it's not as an afterthought, because obviously there's a lot of the thought that gets put into it, but it's almost like they've had to collect it together to sort of put it out as a physical thing. Yeah. And it works perfectly. So if they've done that by accident, then they must be geniuses. But, you know. but, yeah, it's been my favourite for the entire year so far, and I can't see it being dislodged from at least the top five, but it's still number one at the moment for me. I know we weren't talking like that, but it's a brilliant album.
Yeah, you can if you want.
No particular order.
All right, back to me. My second choice of this podcast is the album from Katie Malko, Failures, that came out in June, and this is Fractures. Yeah, Fractures. She says it's about coming face to face with a version of yourself you don't even recognize and growing into understanding your true self. My ex-partner's girlfriend before me was extremely beautiful and intelligent, by all accounts, an incredibly nice person. She was from the coast and she surfed, skated, hiked, climbed, and she was a scientist. I grew up in a rough Midlands industrial town and didn't do that well in school. I always had insecurities about my academic intelligence, so if my partner ever joked about my gaps in knowledge, I didn't take it too well. I just felt other people seemed to find things easier than I did. So I suppose it's kind of feeling like, you know, not good enough, you know, for the person you're in a relationship with. You know, it's that feeling, isn't it? And it's a really good album, you know, and we had Katie on, didn't we, as well?
Friend of the show.
She's actually doing a balcony session for us this weekend as well. She's excellent. She's really talented. She's done quite well with her album as well, considering, you know, there's no touring at the moment and, you know, she had to sell it in lockdown and stuff. Throughout the 10 songs, she touches on drink, drugs, family, death, struggling with relationships and finding yourself, friendships, anxieties and body image. Yeah, I think it's a really good album and it's kind of got a heart on the sleeve quality to it. Like, I wouldn't say, you know, it's quite rough. There are parts that are a little bit rough around the edges, but I quite like it, that about it.
Yeah.
And there are anthemic moments and there are more introspective moments like this and Brooklyn. And then the other one we played, Animal, which is a more of a belter.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a good album. It's very personal. Mm. Very personal. And I like her voice. It's not like overly perfect or anything.
No, it's very, that's one of the things. Yeah, I think it's not overproduced, because that's just one thing that it does bother me about a lot of things that can be. It's the things, even like by some of these sort of underground bands, some of these upcoming, some even some of these bedroom acts.
Yeah,
things feel overproduced, like massively. It's like trying to, you know, not polish a turd, is that, that's a bit unfair. But they're just trying to make it too perfect. So there's this horrendous sheen to thing. But the fact that...
That's in, though, isn't it? Pop. That's the kind of pop sound.
I know.
I think that
might be one of my problems with some of it. I just can't get over... I mean, you know, you're going to have to sort of polish up someone playing a synth necessarily, or a drum beat, or synthetic drum beat. But it's just something, you know, you want something that's a bit rougher on the edges. Yeah, you want, you know, an extra distortion tipping the point. I don't... And that's what I like about it as well. I mean, there's sort of elements of sort of Americana to this one, especially.
Definitely.
A bit country and western sort of feel to it. But then she's got that kind of sort of very British accent that we were talking about the other day when our last one. You know, it's quite an affecting. I mean, she's from Scotland, isn't she, really? But she came
originally,
because I think, is it one of the lyrics? It's either in this one or that first single, Animals, where she says, I moved back down, but I don't know why, or something like that. It's a paraphrasing, badly paraphrasing it. She said, you know, she wished she hadn't almost come south. I think that was one of the things she said, into the big smoke. Yeah, well, we'd say she was really nice on the pod. She was really good. And yeah, the couple of, I did listen to the album a couple of times. I haven't listened to it recently, but I did enjoy it at the time. It's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, that's just another, another
it's quite enveloping, this song as well. I quite like how enveloping it is, the song in itself. Yeah, like you said, there's a sort of almost an alt country thing to it, where it kind of, you know, sways, and there's that kind of hint of distortion, isn't there, on the percussion kind of, but it kind of sways and then collapses and then comes up again. It's kind of affecting, but also quite introspective. Brooklyn is another good track on it as well.
That was a good one.
Anyway, that's Katie Malco's album. Just want to check it out. Over to you again, Jim.
To me, my next one, if I remember rightly, will be the album, debut album by Porridge Radio. It's Every Bad. And this song is Lilac.
So uncomfortable, I'm not anything unforgivable, but I don't wanna do it. I don't want to get bitter, forget how to make you better. I want you to be
possibly one of the best songs of the last 12 months. I've technically released last year, so, you know, unfortunately wouldn't necessarily be able to go on.
I've got a tale to tell about Porridge Rain, I'll tell you in a minute. Yeah. The choice of music journalism.
Exactly. But, yeah, well, so that song is, yeah, it's just one of my favourite songs of the past 12 months. It's just absolutely stunning. And I love this album. I was really looking forward to, because you've got Sweet as well, which is another amazing song, Circling as well, which we had on the pod. It's mainly about Dana Margolin, but she has her band together. But I think it's more of her baby, really. She writes all the songs. She's been doing a lot of the, at least at the beginning, she did quite a few sort of bedroom videos and sort of live casts and things like that of stuff. And she's been did painting and stuff like that. She's auctioned for various charities around the Thumper. And she just did a new single as well that I haven't listened to, but I did enjoy the first few times I listened to. But this is just a great album. It's very sort of, it's quite an intense album, especially this song. But she sort of takes it beyond that point that people would normally stop, especially with this song. It's like you think it's going to get to a point and then just, you know, stop and that would be that. But she almost goes beyond it, especially with the end of this song. It's almost like she then enters some kind of weird vortex thing because she's just gone above and beyond into a different dimension or something. And I really want to see him live, but obviously that's unlikely to happen anytime soon. But never mind.
Yeah, I really like them as well. And I've interviewed her 3 times. And it hasn't actually made it to the website. So I can apologise for that, Dana, if you're listening, because we tried it every single way and it seemed to be doomed because I tried on my phone. I tried recording it with an app and it didn't work. Then there was another method. Then another method. We tried Skype in the end. She signed up to Skype and I tried on that. And then after 30 days, it destroyed it because I hadn't written it up. After 30 days, I didn't realise it did that. So... yeah, no matter what we did, that was cursed, that one. But yeah, I really like how heart on the sleeve and brutal the lyrics are, delivery as well. I think that's what makes it, to be honest. I mean, I quite like the way it's sort of, the instrumentation builds up as well to a kind of crashing crescendo on a lot of the tracks. But I think what makes it is her vocals, to be honest, if we're being really honest, you know. That's what sets it apart, I think, from your usual like indie rock fare, I think.
No, I agree. But I think, say...
And I recommended it to somebody and they were like, oh, that Porridge Radio album's really good. So, you know, it's one of them ones that kind of like gets you, doesn't it? You know,
there's definitely been a word of mouth thing that's been going on. But then I think it has helped by some of these singles have just been... I think they are... again, it's all of that kind of not no frills, but it's quite sort of DIY, sort of lo-fi to a certain degree.
Raw.
It's very raw. They're not worried about it being all polished and everything. And like I said, this, she always goes above and beyond like where she thinks it's going to go. And this constant repetitive, I don't want to be with her. I want to look to get better. I want us to be kinder to ourselves and to each other. I mean, it's very prescient as well. And obviously, but it's...
they're like self-help mantras, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it's again one of my favorites. I left sort of towards the end.
It probably will make it into mine as well. I'm just, you know, I'm just adding to the recommendations, really.
Exactly.
Perfume Genius is my next choice. His album from this year, Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. And from that album, this is On the Floor.
I'm trying, but still I close my eyes. Dreaming, bringing this face to mind. Lock the door, the constant buzzing all through the night. The fire rips me all up inside. On the floor, I pace, I run my mouth, I pray and wait. How long till this washes away? How long till this washes away?
but still it's all I see. The violent current of energy.
Came out in May on Matador. The album is a much more guitar-y album than some of the other stuff he's released in the past. I've been following Perfume Genius, aka Mike Heydris, for quite a few years. He had an album out years ago, and it was very almost like Elliott Smith, stripped back singer-songwritery stuff. And then over the time, he sort of developed as an artist. He's had quite a few albums, almost like in the going into sort of almost electronic pop areas and all different areas. And this new one, he's got more of like a guitar, kind of a background of guitar sounds on it as well. And this song is particularly is quite theatrical, playful. I mean, he made the video with a sort of a theatrical troupe as well. So that's kind of adds to it. He says that it's about the obsession and fantasy of having a crush on somebody, you know. It's like that fantasy that you have that isn't actually based in reality kind of thing, and that you can't almost grasp onto. But the album itself, it's got parts of it are more introspective, I'd say, and kind of stripped back and quite haunting. I almost wanted to tweet when I was listening to it the first time. I almost wanted to tweet. It's like he was rustling in my subconsciousness or something. Because it's quite a it is. It's quite a long album. It's quite introspective and, you know, goes quite deep. Mm. The other song from it was called Describe, and that is almost like, I don't know. It's got here that it's like a slow motion Weezer, but I don't know. I think it's got like a sort of a fuzz box guitar, guitar about it. And his vocal is quite, you know, it's quite multi-layered, really. He kind of goes up and down the register. It's quite intriguing and multi-layered. It's an album. I definitely recommend it. I mean, he is one of those artists who is always highly critically acclaimed. Mm. But with good reason, yeah. I think.
I mean, good reason. I know of him, but it's not necessarily I'm sort of crossed my path. It's not one of the ones I've sort of thought about listening to. So I haven't listened to much. I must have heard other things than just this on the floor. But the first thing, when I first heard this, I automatically got the Going Gets Tough for the Ocean. It's really weird. It was kind of that, the way it's sort of like bouncing almost.
It is. It's quite playful. It's much more of a pop song than some of the other stuff on the album.
Okay.
But I picked it for a reason, you know.
I think, you've got to, we're picking tracks that are kind of, let's say, almost like gateway songs, something want to. If you play something that's a bit too, I don't know, I suppose if it's very different, like say with the Sorry album, if they're very different all the way through, then you're not going to be able to pick something that's indicative of an album. But if it's obviously it's a bit more variation, makes things a bit more interesting. So I'm not sure it'd be my thing to listen to something that's like this all the way through for 10 tracks. But I mean, sort of quite a party song, isn't it, really? So maybe not a party album then, but that's sort of something.
No.
But yeah. Not bad.
It's quite a deep one. Over to another guitar band, I believe.
It's a bit of a hype band, this, and it was one that I liked the stuff before they started to release a few singles, which it didn't necessarily sort of bother me that much straight away, the singles. They sort of passed me by a little bit, but I gave the album a chance. And this is Sports Team. So this is Lady Gaga bothering Sports Team, the album Deep Down Happy. This song's Lander.
Municipal gardens, do you think? Sometimes on weekends when it gets light you could swim there. Well, maybe if the water was clear. I've been taking some time to myself. I've been thinking a lot, but mainly outside of the box. I really hope that my business people work and I get the job because I really need work. Yeah, I've been waiting in the docks for a while. Down there in Aldershot, Camberley or Staines, I think. I've been packing lunches, deep in boxes. I want to be a lawyer or someone who hunts foxes. And I think maybe in a while I could become a doctor. The ambulances don't run anymore, but it's okay. You can get an Uber there for £4.55. And if you can't afford that, well, it only really hurts when it rains. So other items probably doesn't matter a lot. I've been thinking a little bit about that sort of thing. And if you could hopefully agree, I could begin the track myself free. So, you've been hoping a lot, working on your poses and living on a yacht in your dreams. I'm there in Camberley or Aldershot in Staines. There in Hunches, underneath the municipal bridges. And on the weekends it goes out for a bit to the Slug and Lettuce or Wetherspoons, if that shit. There's no pub in this town anymore, but if you want new drugs you can always go to London. Tend to your flowers for a while. Everything's growing so nicely. July's coming along. I hope that when the winter's finally here, you can sit in your front room and laugh at your neighbours. Oh, you're a tiny bit old for this, don't you think? It's gonna get better before too long. Or if it doesn't, I guess you'll be 6 feet under, wearing your nicest. We'll be right back.
it's a good song to scare the shit out of your wife when she's not expecting a song to be started. That's the first song on the album, and literally it just explodes, and it's quite funny. But also, it's really bizarre. It's another song. They had a song that's not on this album called M5, which is probably my favourite song by them, where they do go through this weird thing about Aldershot, which is literally down the road from me. And then this one mentions Aldershot and Camberley and stuff like that. And I don't know if some of them, because they all met at Cambridge University, but and some of them are from different parts of the country. But I don't know if one of them, or the main songwriter, who isn't the singer, Alex Rice, but he might live around this way. It would explain more that several songs have mentioned Aldershot and the municipal gardens and stuff, which is just kind of like a weird sort of piss take of almost of themselves, because I think they get a bit of a bad rep for being maybe posh because they went to Cambridge University.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And I think they play on that as well. So I'm feeling sorry for them. And, you know, they've done pretty well out of it, finishing, you know, getting a number two album and stuff. But, and they're self-deprecating as much as taking the piss out of people. Like, so I want to be a lawyer or someone who hunts foxes and stuff like that. It's, you know, I don't think it's quite, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek. They're not necessarily always that. Their lyrics aren't very sensible. But it's a bit of a breath of fresh air as well.
Are you trying to say they're like an upper-class idol or something?
It's an upper-class idol with less, you know, I don't know. I think they're playing on the whole fact that they are.
Yeah, they got a lot of grief for that Guardian interview, didn't they?
Yes, yeah.
To be honest, I've never really heard them before, but it's the first time I'd heard them, and I quite like that. It was quite perky and almost little shades of, like, Art Brut or whatever, just, like, bursting out your speakers. But, yeah, it's pretty good.
Chaotic art rock sort of thing, that one. Yeah. And there are things that are a bit more, because that,
although I do remember reading the interview and thinking these sound like absolute twits, but
yeah,
you know, like you say, maybe they are playing up to it a bit.
Oh, I think they definitely do. I think I've read a couple of interviews where they're kind of like, you know, we've done these interviews and maybe retrospect we may not have sort of said everything we did say, but
on the other hand, the fact that we did, you know, we remember the interview is something in itself.
Well, this is it.
A lot of time, I don't remember interviews these days. That's the problem.
Well, there you go then. But
quite boring artist, you know.
But this track is the isn't the main singer again. Alex Rice. I don't know if he's the songwriter, but this is it. The normal singer doesn't do this song, and he doesn't do another one on the album. But it's more normally the singles include him. They're quite different sounding kind of voices, but. Yeah, it's just a bit of fun, really. And I was I was a bit, you know, it was with a bit of trepidation that I went and listened to this album. So I was thinking,
What's the rest of it like?
Well, it's all kind of, you know, there's not a huge amount of, you know, light and shade. It's all very kind of sort of wonky, kind of slightly chaotic sort of, and this kind of thing. This is a bit more kind of fast paced than some of the other songs. They kind of pair down a little bit with other stuff. But they're kind of like almost playing on the almost like an upper class libertines kind of thing. They're kind of, well, not upper class, but, you know, maybe a middle class, you know. They're not playing the street urchins, but they're taking over pubs in maybe slightly more leafy areas of North London. And playing, you know, they literally took over a pub opposite their place in Camberwell, and basically just turned, just before they were, when they were announcing the album, I think, and they just like had a big party and basically played. And then the drummer got smashed in the face and she was in hospital and things like that. So they're a bit of a chaotic kind of, sort of, they don't necessarily have that many, you know, they don't do that many cares in the world, really. They spend a lot of time pushing getting this album to try and become number one. I don't know, the rumour was that because they put it down at being 99p for last 4 hours of the Thursday, apparently may have disqualified it, and they lost out on several thousand album sales or something, or several hundred, which meant that they didn't get to number one. So there was a bit of controversy there, but it's just more of a bit of a laugh. You know, I'm into my kind of serious post-punk. I'm into my kind of introspective singer-songwriter stuff. And some of this stuff seems a little bit few and far between at the moment, stuff I'm finding, but, you know.
Back to me then. Okay, this is Gordy with Unready.
Oh, the ground underneath my feet was cold. I wasn't looking for you. Up ahead, an island like a silo in the emptiness, a quiet majesty in all its nothingness. Sip it all in the sweet to taste the bitterness. let it flow too fast. The ringing in my ears to say that nothing lasts. The world is sick and tired of these apologies. Oh, I'll be honest then. Oh, the ground underneath my feet was cold. I wasn't looking for you. Than comfortable, 'cause I'm not looking at you. But the heart's always ready, but I'm ready for what this might do. But the heart's always ready, but I'm ready for what this might do. It took me further than I thought I'd go. Listening to a voice I know, said take me down another way. Going on and on, and then you're feeling like you're nothing wrong. I hold it in your hand, but it's always on your shoulder. I know, you know where I have been.
From her album Our Two Skins, and yeah, this is quite a recent discovery for me. I put it on just because I thought it was quite different to some of the other stuff on the list that I had. I like this one. It's quite a spiraling, looping synth pop tune, really, and her voice almost reminds me of like Annie Lennox or something.
That's exactly what I've written down.
I was getting a lot of shades of that. I do really like this though, and it's the only song whose lyrics predate the period of my life described by the rest of the songs on the album. It's almost like a sort of moment of clarity again. A song about being caught off guard by your life while you stand in the middle of it. Yeah, I just really like how affecting that song was. And then I went into the rest of the album and it's much more stripped back and almost elements of like Kate Bush and people like that about some of the like more stripped back piano ballads and stripped back sort of guitar balladry and stuff. And this is nothing like the rest of the album, actually. It's just totally different to this, but I like this as well, so you know, it's the most immediate one. The album is actually coming to terms with a new life after she sort of broke up with a relationship and she changed her job. She's actually a medic and has gone back to treating people for COVID-19 in Australia as well. So she's quite an interesting person, you know. And it was just more of a recent discovery, really, I guess. A surprising, you know. And some of the other stuff is much more introspective and brittle, I'd say, if you check out the album. It's a good album, though. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of albums and bands that sort of then started to use synths, not so much now, but sort of like a few years ago, that went from a particular type of sound where they were playing maybe kind of more acoustic sort of instruments. They added a synth, but it was way too much of it to try and do this atmospheric thing with barely anything else to it, but which meant it was just minimalist and boring. Whereas having space and like having this kind of but underlying synth thing and then using different sort of effects and then using vocals maybe as like a loop, and which is what she seems to be doing.
Really?
So my next album is from a little known band from New York City.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. This is a band called The Strokes. Their album was called The New Abnormal, and this one is called At the Door.
Keep it. Never gonna make it out of this in time. I guess that's just fine. I'm not there quite yet. My thoughts such a mess. I come in on board. Want to run in for. The door, anyone home? Have I lost it all? Struck me like a chord. I'm an ugly boy, holding out the knife. Lonely after light, you beg me not to go. That's what they do right in front of you. Like a cannonball slamming through your wall. In their face I saw what they're fighting for. Can't escape it. Till the end, I guess. Struck me like a chord. I'm an ugly boy, holding out the night. Lonely after life, banging on the door. I don't wanna know. Sinking like a star.
Thank you.
picked this song out of all of them because it's the least Strokes song. It's almost like Julian Casablancas and the Voids type thing, because it could have been without the Strokes, really, this song. I mean, I don't know how many of them were really involved. I kept meaning to sort of watch those videos they did at the beginning of lockdown. They did kind of like those Zoom chat things, obviously with a lot more money and production behind it. But well, they talked about a lot about them. I still haven't got around to watching them. But this is just a really, I was like really surprised. Because, oh, the Strokes are back. And they just announced the gig, one of the last few gigs I went to, sort of end of February, beginning of March, whenever it was the when they did the one-off at the Roundhouse, which was brilliant. But yeah, and they released this a bit before it. And I sort of, when I first heard this is really bizarre. This is just, this, say, this can't be the Strokes. This is just Julian Casablanca on his own. And the more I listen to it, it's probably one of the best vocal performances I think he's done on a Strokes song, certainly. He just kind of makes it, because everything else is kind of just, you know, a bit of electronic sampling and synth and stuff like that. But it's not necessarily particularly indicative of the rest of the album. There are just very standard Strokes stuff, like Bad Decision. I love the fact that they're back. It's a return to form. Yeah. They haven't really been released anything really good.
Yeah, so, did they go on hiatus or what?
No, that's the thing. I don't think they really have. I think they've just plodded along and just ignored each other for a little while. I think he's even, they had like these, you know, when they did these videos, there's always come kind of like Enemy or whatever, had a bit of a news item about the fact that there was something that was, you know, a public video. But anyway, they're basically saying that, I think Ian Julian said that they weren't really enjoying what they were doing, but they sort of just carried on. They never really talked about it. And, you know, you could hear it. The songs weren't there. The odd one from like the previous year, I was in like Angles, and I was never really a fan of the third album either. But the first two are brilliant. And this is a return back to form. So it's just, there's some really good things. Like Eternal Summer's completely off the wall and weird for them. It's not a huge, particularly long album. There's only 9 tracks to it. But yeah, they just seem to give a shit this time. And that you can hear it. You can definitely hear it when a band cares. And it's the fact that they're back and making something interesting that made me want to put it in.
Fair enough.
Have you listened?
This track, I quite surprised me with the synths and stuff.
Yeah.
I was almost getting like the Killers, I was thinking. Almost like early Killers, I was thinking.
Maybe, yeah.
Weirdly. It's quite an earworm melody as well, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But that's almost created by his vocal, I think.
Yeah, probably.
More than
pretty good.
But
I'll have to check out the album. I think I've only heard. I think I only heard the lead single because everyone was raving about it.
Bad Decisions is probably the most, you know, standard Stroke song on the album. But I think people are saying that he basically ripped that off Billy Idol, I think it was, or something.
I kind of lost interest in them, to be honest.
It's
a bit like Interpol from that period, who I loved for a while. You know, I just kind of lost interest.
Well, that's because, they did the Strokes released something, I released sort of like 2 or 3 fairly average to crap albums.
Yeah, basically.
But then I don't know why the hype just got back behind them, and, you know, this single was about, and then they followed it up quite quickly with Bad Decisions, then Brooklyn Bridge to Chorus and stuff like that, and then they did this gig, which, you know, sort of piqued everyone's interest again, and it is a really good album. So I'll just be interested to see what they do next. They'll probably disappear again for 5 years or something,
probably.
Okay,
because they all seem to do their own thing as well, don't they?
So yeah, they've
got their own solo projects and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, back to me. Again, another sort of recent discovery. I mean, I kind of knew of them, but I got into this album. I'm cheating a bit because it's a compilation album of various EPs, you know, but it has come out this year, so, you know. Okay, this is Happy Spending. This is from their album, You're Doing Okay, and this is Feelings 2.
It's not been a long time.
Yeah, this one really just sort of like caught me off guard, really. I just love how intimate it is and almost soothing a vocal. And then it's like a carousel of Casio keyboards and as a bed underneath it. And all the tracks are in that vein, really, to be honest. It kind of creates an atmosphere. This one apparently is about the death of one of their fathers. So it's kind of about grief and stuff. Yeah, there are three pieces from Glasgow, and they're quite interesting. This is out on Lost Map Records. Yeah, it's a compilation of all the EPs they've done so far. So it's not really a proper album, but I'm cheating a bit by sticking it in because I just love this song and various songs on it that are really good. There's actually not a lot to it musically, but it's just her voice is how soothing and intimate it is. I was thinking of that band you picked before.
Drugstore Romeos.
There's a bit of a comparison there to have. I'd say it's even more minimal, to be honest. Like, there's literally nothing there apart from like a drum machine and a Casio keyboard, a synth. And that, in a way, that kind of works over an album, though, because her voice is just so, it's almost like she's sort of whispering to you as you sleep at night, you know. It's like, you know, it's very soothing and intimate and very, you know, just very heart on the sleeve kind of stuff, you know. It's very, you know, it's a lot of it's about, you know, relationships and, you know, grief in the case of this. A lot of it's emotions, you know. And I just like how empathetic her voice is. Anyway, final track of the podcast.
Final track of the podcast is my final album of my 10 of so far. I don't know how many of these are going to change by the time we get around to. So this is my last album of my 10, the album so far this year. This is George Ogilvy. His album is Whiteout, and this track is called Mid Air.
Where misplaced my memory, I got lost in some twisted day.
Must be a way.
this is just very relaxing and nice, isn't it? It's one of the, it's the album, you know, I was sort of thinking about putting this, these 10 together. And I say, we weren't really giving it any particular order, but, you know, it sort of did, you know, no offense, George, if you're listening, but it didn't necessarily all would always be in my top 10, but it's just something I like putting on. And my wife puts on quite a lot when we're working, because it's just quite nice, relaxing. But it's, some, you know, it's not something that necessarily just you can ignore, or you do ignore, you know, but it's just very nice, you know, relaxing, a bit like the Laura Marling album. And the, but they're both actually nice and got quite a lot of interesting textures and stuff to it. And this is just a really nice song. This wasn't a single, sorry. Obviously, it hasn't appeared, didn't appear before, but it's one of the album tracks that I really like. And I've noticed a lot more. It's kind of got a really nice melody and kind of wistful chorus. I hadn't heard from him at all until last summer when he was playing at Green Man, but I think he clashed in the end. We were listening to a load of bands on our playlist, like a Green Man playlist before we went, and the Beths were actually one of those bands. We did watch their set, but yeah, he seems quite, it's just quite an interesting album, and it's just quite, quite atmospheric, but with enough body behind it.
Yeah, I like that. And quite soothing and reflective, and kind of envelops. The first time I listened to it, it didn't strike me as much, but then over time it sort of envelops you.
Yeah,
it's like drinking in the mid-afternoon, I put, almost like Radiohead on sleeping pills or something. Like Radiohead dozing off. It's almost more of a jazzy feel to it. When I say jazzy, I mean like sort of like textures of that kind of laid back kind of thing, not like full on, you know. Jazz,
drums and stuff.
But sort of.
I kind of, there's certain sort of parallels with Riley Walker without the kind of drum, the syncopated jazz drums and time signatures and stuff like that. But there's that kind of, I know what you mean. That sort of almost like atmosphere of kind of like a sort of a day, like a jazz feel, sort of a bluesy jazz feel, but more on the troubadour singer songwriter kind of side, sort of. I don't know, maybe Paralyzed are kind of like a Dylan sort of thing, but
yeah, more,
but not, yeah, sort of that kind of along those sort of lines. He's more of a sort of 60s sort of feel, but with kind of more modern sounds and soundscapes. He's interesting. I quite like to see where he goes with it next. It'd be quite a nice sort of relaxing gig to go to. So probably quite a good social distancing gig. All sat at tables, you know, at a distance, maybe outside with a jug of Pimm's or something. As the sun goes down, that'd be nice. Sort it out. Who can sort that? Get on their PR.
Yeah, so that's the end of our albums of the year so far. Selections, that's a 10 there. So any kind of you've heard since that you would maybe include in future?
We've got...
I think the Beths for me and...
I think so. I think...
Quite a few others as well.
There's a few that's sort of on the list of stuff that's going to be coming out sort of in the next few months. You've got the Fen Lily's Breach is going to be out soon, which I'm really keen to listen to. Hopefully I'll be able to listen to that fairly soon. There's the Fontaines DC album, which the three singles off that I've really liked. Seems to be a bit of a change of pace from Dogrel. So that is quite exciting. I think there's what other albums there are. There's a few. Is there anything you're looking forward to?
Kelly Lee Owens, I quite like, who's sort of an electronic producer from Wales, who I'm looking forward to her album. What else? There's quite a few coming out, isn't there? There's always a few bubbling under the surface. That maybe James Dean Bradfield's album. You never know. That might be good as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right.
Wicked.
Good one. Until next time, thanks for listening to Show Me Magic. This has been an Albums of the Year special so far. Till next week. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a Goddess in the TV recommend show. Check out more on goddessinthetvzine.co.uk or on our Twitter page, Goddess in the TV. We're also on Facebook, Goddess in the TV Zine with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time. Ta-da.